Well, we've enjoyed some terrific carols and readings already this evening, and we're only partway through our time together, but I hope it's helping you prepare well for Christmas. I don't know if you're someone who gets very well prepared for Christmas very early on, or someone who likes to leave things to the last minute. There are only two more shopping days until Christmas. And while we all probably have different approaches, it comes down really to two groups of people. One are the organized people. These are the people who do their Christmas shopping in August and know exactly what to get everyone. They've got it all sorted. They've written their Christmas cards by October, and you can tell those people because they are the people looking very smug at the moment. And then there are the other type of people. I think they like to call themselves spontaneous people or last-minute people. They're the ones who enjoy, if that is the right word, going shopping for Christmas presents on Christmas Eve. And maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you love the adrenaline of having to get all your presents before the shops close on Christmas Eve. It's certainly an exciting way to go about it. And it can risk some very interesting presents if you're running late and running low on ideas by the end of it. Finding exactly the right gift, the perfect gift at Christmas, can be a great challenge. And in fact, so much so that people have tried to apply science and mathematics to it. So there was a team, apparently, at Essex University who teamed up with, of all people, the Countdown presenter, Rachel Riley, and they put their heads together and they came up with a formula for the perfect Christmas present. I was going to show you that formula up on the screen, but to be honest, it's so complicated, it is of no practical use to anyone. So I won't bore you with it. You can't really use mathematics to try and work out the perfect present for every person that you need to buy for. It's more an art than a science, isn't it? Trying to work out what somebody really would benefit from. What is the perfect present? Well, here's the thing about Christmas. Christmas is the time when we find out that God has given us the perfect present, the greatest gift in giving his son, Jesus, to be born. That is what Christmas is celebrating. And yet, I don't know whether you thought that much about it, but you might begin to scratch your head. You know, I know that's what Christmas is about. Maybe you've been to a nativity play. But you might wonder to yourself, why is the gift of Jesus the greatest gift? Why would a baby in a manger 2,000 years ago be a perfect gift for each one of us? Well, to find that out, we can go back to some of our Bible readings. In fact, we can go all the way back to the very first of our readings, a reading from the prophet Isaiah. It was a prophecy given hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, but it looks forward to the birth of Jesus. It looks forward to the gift that God would give, and it explains something of why Jesus is the greatest gift. And here's the first reason that Isaiah gives. Jesus is the greatest gift because his gift is a gift of government. Yeah, there's a lack of excitement I'm feeling in the room when you talk about that. In fact, you might be thinking to yourself, what on earth are you talking about? We've just made it through a general election. We've made it through however many weeks, it seems like an eternity, but however many weeks of campaigning and all of the politics and so forth, how on earth can you talk about government at all, let alone talk about government as the greatest gift? The US president, and of course before that film star Ronald Reagan, used to say that some of the scariest words you can ever hear from somebody are the words, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Now, that says a lot about his particular brand of politics, and you may or may not agree with that, but certainly it begins to make us think, for whatever we think about government and leadership and politics, how on earth can we think about that as the greatest gift? You might think that there are plenty of politicians who think that they are God's gift to humanity, but is government really the answer that we're looking for? Well, I think the answer is found in what Isaiah says about what kind of government this is. So let me remind you some familiar words that are often read at Christmas time. Isaiah says, for to us a child is born, To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Here is a promise of a gift, not of a system of government, but a king, a ruler, somebody who will bear the responsibility for government. And what kind of government would that be? Well, he says a few lines later, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. You see, this gift of government is the greatest gift because it's a gift that brings peace. And isn't that something we deeply and truly need? I don't know if you're the kind of person who still writes Christmas lists. It's kind of helpful, isn't it? What kind of things would you like for Christmas? And you detail them out to help people kind of try and pick out a good gift. I am sure we would all put peace on our Christmas list. I've not yet ever come across somebody who would say, I don't really want peace in my life, in our world. But we don't put it on our Christmas list because we don't think that people can get it for us. Those who we know in friends and family, those in our own governments, peace seems very far away. But what if there was a ruler? What if there was a government? What if there was a gift that could truly bring peace? What if that gift came through a person whose birth was marked by a choir of angels, much like these? A choir of angels singing to muddy shepherds in a field, peace on earth. Makes us think, doesn't it? It's a greatest gift because it's a gift of government. But you might think, okay, well, if that's true, if that's God's promise, then how do we know that he can follow through on it? We've heard over recent weeks plenty of politicians making promises, and we may or may not believe what they said. But how do we know that God's promise will be fulfilled? Well, the answer is because this gift is not just about government. It's also a glorious gift. Isaiah tells us about this king who God would send and the kind of king that he is going to be. And these are the kind of words that Isaiah uses. He says he's going to be king that is wonderful, mighty, everlasting, peace, righteousness, justice. They are beautiful words. They're words that we would long to know more of. And if you collect them all together into one term, it's what the Bible calls glory. Glory. Now, I guess most of us probably don't use the word glory that much in everyday life, except in sports. Have you noticed that? We talk a lot about glory in sports. We talk about a football team going for Champions League glory. We talk about Olympic athletes going for gold medal glory. When we turn to the world of sports, glory goes from a word that we hardly ever use to a word that seems to be thoroughly overused most of the time. But the reason it's used is because glory comes with it that sense of victory, of something being won, obtained, grasped, hold on to, something that had been planned for so long, that people have been going for so long and finally obtaining, whether it be lifting a cup or wearing a medal. And that is true of Christmas. Christmas is glorious. This gift of God is glorious because it is a gift of victory. The trouble is that the victory of Christmas can be a little bit difficult to see. And it's difficult to see because we tend to leave Jesus as the baby in the manger. There's a story told about a child and her grandmother who were going out doing some Christmas shopping around the town. And they noticed that there was a nativity scene outside a church. And so the grandmother encouraged the girl to come closer and to look at the nativity scene. And they gazed on the wonderful figures of of Mary and Joseph and of the wise men and the shepherds. And then they got closer and they looked into the manger to see the baby Jesus. And then suddenly from the little girl came this sort of quizzical noise of her going, hmm. Clearly something was up, so her grandmother asked her, kind of, what is it that's bothering you? To which the little girl replied, It's strange. He's the same size as last year. We know, don't we, that children grow up. Anyone who's had a little baby knows that they don't stay little for very long. And yet far too often we can keep Jesus in the manger as the little baby. And that's great. It's wonderful to celebrate that at Christmas. But the little baby in the manger grew up to become a man. A man who walked and taught, who did miracles, and a man who went to the cross. The cross that seems like an absolute disaster actually is a wonderful and glorious victory. And the reason for that is because of the third thing about this gift. You see, it's not just a gift about government. It's not just a gift about glorious government. It is a gift about God himself, that God steps down into our world. The reason why Jesus is the greatest gift is because he is God come to us. He was promised to be God in human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. As he grew, he claimed to be God. He did things that only God could do. And finally, he went to the cross to die and then rose again, proving that he is who he said he is. See, Christmas is such a great gift because God didn't send us an instruction manual. He didn't send us a set of rules to follow. He didn't send us a set of religious instruction. He sent us himself. He came to meet us in Jesus. The ancient writer St. Augustine put it this way: man's maker was made man, that the bread might be hungry, the fountain thirst, the light sleep, the way be tired from the journey, that strength might be made weak, and that life might die. Jesus came to show us what God was like. And Jesus came to open up the way for us to know God once again. That Jesus died and rose again to restore our relationship with our Maker and Creator. Fundamentally, a perfect Christmas present isn't about how much we spend or the greatest of the wrapping paper that we use. It is about finding something that somebody truly needs. Jesus is the greatest gift because he brings us the thing that we need the most: to know the God who made us, to bring us peace with God, to open up the way for us to be friends with God once again. The glorious government of Jesus is the greatest gift because it invites us to be welcomed back into the hands of God. I hope you know more of that this Christmas. And if you want to explore more, you'll find on your seats these wonderful fa-la-la-la-la leaflets, which are an invitation to a course that we run here called Alpha. We're running it in the new year on Thursday evenings, and we'd love you to be part of that. It's a really gentle way to ask questions, find out more without any assumptions. Please do take those away. Please do come along to that. It kicks off with a delicious supper and a chance to find out about what the course is like without any commitments. But whatever you do this Christmas, whether you're going to be dashing off to see relatives or having a nice quiet Christmas at home, I hope you know something of the joy of the greatest gift that has been given to us, that we've been singing about, that we've been hearing about, and that we'll continue to sing and hear about as we continue through our service. Thanks for listening.